Father, we bless you and thank you, O God, for your great love for us, for the prophetic potential upon each one of our lives, for there is an immensity that you have bequeathed to each one of us, bequeathed to us in the Spirit of Christ, bequeathed to us in a spirit of excellence, in the divine spirit that you have given us, in the extraordinary spirit that you have given us. Open our hearts that we may understand our prophetic potential and walk into it by the Holy Spirit, realizing what you have given to us in Jesus' name. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just some basic review of stuff we have done before. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, we are on the subject of the Spirit of Christ. Verse 38. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are." So Pharaoh recognized that Joseph had what he called a divine spirit. Let's turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, or rather verse 11. The person who is speaking is a queen, and she's telling the king of that day. Verse 11, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him." Verse 12, "This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in Daniel." So Daniel had an extraordinary spirit. Chapter 6, verse 3. "Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit." And what we are saying is that what we have read just now from the two passages of Scripture, or the three passages of Scripture, one on Joseph and one on two on Daniel, are foreshadowings of what God has given all of us in the Spirit of Christ. What God has given all of us in the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is something we have to understand because, as we said last week, the Spirit of Christ is the spiritual genetic blueprint for you and me. If you understand something of genetics, you will understand that everything that is of the human being, or rather the human body, is defined in the genetic code that is within the person's body. Every function, every kind of reality of that person in terms of his bodily functions is defined in that genetic code. So the Spirit of Christ is the genetic code for a new creation. That's why in the Christian creeds we say that Christ Jesus is the true man. He is true man and true God. True man, right? He is the genetic blueprint for you and me to come forth as sons of God. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." He became a life-giving spirit. So his spirit enables life. And that life flows out of him. And the life is going to be described in the living. Everything that describes you as a functional living being is meant to be genetically defined in the Spirit of Christ. He became to us a life-giving spirit. He became to us a life-giving spirit. And this life-giving spirit has been given to us to receive, to realize. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 19. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. And you will find at the bottom of verse 19 something that says in the New King James Bible, it is written, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In the New American Standard, it is written, the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So there is a reality that God provides for us in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's talking about what God has provided for us in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ is communicated to us through the Rhema word. Through the Rhema word. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So Jesus Christ became to us a life-giving spirit. And the life-giving spirit is expressed through the Rhema that has spoken to us by the Spirit. The Rhema that is brought to us by the Spirit. My words to you are spirit and they are life. And God has given us in that Rhema everything pertaining to the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. So if you look at your scriptures today, God is saying that this word is meant to be expounded to you by the Holy Spirit in the spirit and life of Jesus. That's why the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. That's in the King James Bible. If you have any other translation of the Bible, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So if you put those two manuscripts together, you find that the word of God is being manifested to you as the word of Christ. The communicative medium for the word of God is the word of Christ. And the reason for it is because in the word of Christ, the Spirit of Christ gives definition to the truth. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. So it is the Spirit of Christ that is the defining element of truth. It is not a mere principle. It is not a mere law. It is not merely the Bible. It is what is described in the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is exclusively communicated by the Holy Spirit. It cannot be communicated by you and me except by the Spirit. If you and I function in the name of Jesus, if you and I function by the Holy Spirit, then we can communicate the Spirit and life of Jesus. But without the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ cannot be communicated. So in John 16, verse 13, Jesus says, when he, the Spirit, comes, he will lead you into all truth. All truth. John 16, verse 14, he says, he will glorify me. He will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. So everything that is of Jesus Christ, everything that is hidden in the mystery of Christ is only open to us by the Holy Spirit through communication of the Spirit and life of Jesus. Then in John 16, verse 15, Jesus says, all that the Father has is mine. It belongs to me. It is manifested through me. That's what he is saying. But it is manifested by the Holy Spirit. It is brought forth by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who communicates the Spirit and life of Jesus. And the Spirit of Christ is what enables you and me to change. The Spirit of Christ is what enables you and me to function by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is what brings a new reality, a new state of being into us. Ephesians 2:10, you are created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the living God, so that you will walk into the good works. Why are you created in Christ Jesus? You are created in Christ so that you will become genetically defined in Christ. And so that you will be able to function in the name of Jesus. Why function in the name of Jesus? Because if you are actually able to function in the name of Jesus, you can ask for anything and God will honor you. Are you with me? Can you see where God is leading us? But everything that comes out of the name of Jesus must first be defined within you in the Spirit of Christ. That's the purpose of the word. Turn with me to Luke 21, verse 33. That's why Jesus says, Luke 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Elsewhere it is written that the word of God stands forever. Here Jesus Christ is equating the word of God with his words. In this case, the Greek word there is logos. And he's saying the logos of my words are indestructible. Now you were born again with the logos word manifested within you. Where do you find that? First Peter? First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding word of God. The Greek word for word there is logos. How does logos manifest to us? It comes to us as rhema, and it manifests within us as logos. What is perfected and completed into us becomes logos. That logos takes the form of the covenant in your heart. But the components of that logos is the spirit and life of Jesus, the faith and love of Jesus, the character and nature of Jesus, the witness and testimony of Jesus. Are you with me? But the defining element of the Logos word is the Spirit of Christ. So truth is not something that man can discern of himself. Truth is entirely defined in the Spirit of Christ. Truth is entirely defined in the Spirit of Christ. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Verse 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law. What does that mean? Christ is the end of the law. You don't live by the law anymore. You live by Christ. That doesn't mean God is saying his law is no longer valid. But what he is saying is that the law is brought to fulfillment through Christ. So what is it that we are realizing of Christ that will enable us to see the fulfillment of the law manifested in our character, our nature, our behavior patterns, our lifestyle? The defining characteristic is the Spirit of Christ. The defining characteristic is the Spirit of Christ. It is the Spirit of Christ that will enable you to do the right thing. So he says here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So by the mere process of believing, you are able to realize realities that stand in the spirit and life of Jesus. And the Spirit of Christ will enable you to do things that you cannot do. Now, all of us have experienced this. When we were born again, we were enabled to do things that we never could do before. Desires were birthed in us for God and the things of God that we never had before. Where did those desires, where did that enabling come from? It was defined in the Spirit of Christ. So when the seed of Christ was planted in you by the Holy Spirit, when the seed of Christ was energized inside of you by the Holy Spirit, you were born again. And lo and behold, you were enabled to realize realities that all the law could not fulfill or bring to life. And that's powerful. That is powerful. And God is giving you a picture, a prophetic picture of how he will create you as sons of God. Are you listening? We are talking here about the power of God. We are not talking about what you can do, how many hours you can pray, how many chapters of the Bible you can memorize. We are talking about what you can realize through the Spirit of Christ that will stand in the abiding. Everything that is in eternity. Everything that describes the abiding is of God, because only God is by character and nature eternal. The Spirit of Christ brings the abiding into us. Anything that is defined in the Spirit and Christ inside of your being is eternal and abiding. It cannot pass away. Everything that you realize in your own strength, everything that is of the system of the world that we live in, is always absolutely and totally and comprehensively. It is transitory in nature. It is real, but it will surely pass away. That's why Jesus says this world and the things of this world are passing away. But everything you receive blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ, it describes the eternal and the abiding. The Spirit of Christ is the communicative medium for the mystery of Christ. The principal mystery that the church is charged with bringing forth is the mystery of Christ. Where do you find that? Ephesians chapter 3. Let's turn to that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul writes, by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. So there is something called the mystery. It is at the heart of everything that flows from God. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to God. The things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever. Now nothing known to man, nothing that is of man can last forever. But the secret things that come from God stand forever. Now, this is the mystery. So in verse 4, he describes that mystery as the mystery of Christ. The mystery that is defined in his Spirit. This mystery is in his Spirit, and his mystery comes out of his Spirit, and it is an enabled reality. Christ means the anointed one. There is an anointing that God means to define and develop inside of you that will enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when you do it, you know this is not of me. And you should be able to tell the difference. It should be very clear. This is not of me. This is of the Lord. And when you have realized something that is of the Lord, you have realized something that is of the mystery of Christ. Something that has been defined in the Spirit of Christ has been worked into you by the Holy Spirit, and it has become functional. Potentially, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what the Word of God says. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things can be defined in the Spirit of Christ and can become an abiding totality for you, in which you can live, move, and have your being in the Lord your God, in the merits of the Lamb, by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And that's powerful. That's powerful. It gives you a sense of destiny. Do you have a sense of destiny in your insides? If you have a sense of destiny, then you have come out. You have realized a reality that is defined in the Spirit of Christ. Because there can be no sense of destiny and no sense of eternity without that Spirit of Christ bringing that forth. Because in the Spirit of Christ, there is this sense of destiny and eternity. It is defined. It is defined. And it was proven through the cross. It was proven through the cross. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit of Christ is the defining element that we are called to discover. And the Spirit of Christ opens to you the mystery of Christ. Let's look at verse 7. Paul says, according to the gift of God's grace which was given to me, according to the working of his power, to me the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Why does he say unfathomable? Because it is entirely tied to the Spirit of Christ. It cannot be discerned by the human intellect. It can only be revealed to you. And he says, these are the unfathomable riches of Christ. They are defined in his spirit, and they are brought to life through his spirit. And if you look at the word of God and the many promises in the word of God, you will understand that those promises can only come to life if they are enabled through the spirit of Christ. That's why if you leave out the New Testament and just read the Old Testament, it has got many promises, but it is a closed book. It doesn't go anywhere. Until and unless you bring the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, it doesn't explode in the dynamics of the brilliance of God. But if you bring the testimony of Jesus into the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament explodes in a New Testament reality, and it's powerful. And that's when you see the power of the Lord. That's when you begin to appreciate that you are a chosen people, you are an anointed people, that you have very much to look forward to. There's so much you and I need to be grateful to God for, because he has given us an awesome future. He has given us a future and a destiny that will captivate our hearts in all eternity. That is amazing. And all that is the work of God. So that is what is described as the unfathomable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery. If you have a King James Bible, it says the fellowship of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Only the church has access to the Spirit of Christ. But unfortunately, we are very impressed with our own abilities. After 2,000 years of disaster after disaster, we still don't have the simple intelligence or the simple common sense to understand that we do not know what we are doing. And that is tragic. Yet we pretend we know something. We write a thesis and we think we are smart. We award ourselves with degrees and we think we are smart, yet we can do nothing. And yet we kid ourselves that we know something. We are still like kids. That's why the world is not impressed with the Christian church, because we are demonstrating very little of God. And even when we do demonstrate wonders of God, our character and our nature leaves much to be desired. The reason is very simple. If you don't realize all things through Christ who strengthens you, we will keep on repeating the cycles of disaster that we have repeated for the last 2,000 years. It will come over and over and over again. It is time to flush the toilet of our brilliance and expound the wonder of Jesus Christ made alive in us by the Holy Spirit. Until we know that, until we understand that, unless that stands as a conviction in our hearts, we are just going to keep on repeating the mistakes that we have made. Whether they are Catholic mistakes, or whether they are Orthodox mistakes, or whether they are Pentecostal mistakes, they are still mistakes. And we repeat the same thing over and over again. The Catholic Church gave indulgences in history. The Pentecostal Church gives a bless me, fill me, gospel to everybody. God is here to serve you, brother. He's a magical Santa Claus. What's the blooming difference? Same spirit. Same spirit. Same tragedy. We are supposed to proclaim the name of Jesus. But what do we proclaim? We proclaim our own ministries. Have you looked at our advertisements? Our names appear far bigger than the name of the Lord. Our pictures adorn every page of the advertisement. So who are people coming to see? Jesus Christ or you and me? Isn't that tragic? That we don't understand the very basics of what the Lord has told us, that we are to lift up on high the name of Jesus, and all the nations will come to the name of Jesus. But we want to lift up our name. We want everyone to know how wonderful our ministries are. We still do not have the mind of Christ. We are still not renewed in our minds. We are still caught up in the carnality of the world system. We want accolades for ourselves. We are self-centered and selfish. For the simple reason that although we say we love the Lord, in practice we don't. We love ourselves more. We love what belongs to us more. The Spirit of Christ is defined in a very peculiar way. Let's turn to John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." This is the defining reality of the Spirit of Christ. When you have the Spirit of Christ, you will realize that you can actually do nothing of yourself. Yes, we can do many things in the transitory, but we can do nothing in the abiding. That's what Jesus is saying. I can do nothing of myself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. How will these greater works come? Jesus said, "In my name you will do greater works." But to do it in his name, we have to receive this Spirit. That saw God as the be-all and end-all of all things. We don't think like that. All of us actually know we can do many things. He who raised the dead, walked on water, stopped the storm, says, "I can do nothing." You see, that is the fundamental difference between the Spirit of Christ and the spirit of the world. Lucifer said, "I can make myself like the Most High God." That is a different kind of spirit. But the Spirit of Christ is different. The Spirit of Christ sees the preeminence of God. So when the Spirit of Christ manifests in us, it manifests in us in the preeminence of the name of Jesus. That we will have no other desire but to see the name of Jesus glorified. That is the witness and testimony to the right spirit. So when John in 1 John chapter 4 says, "Test the spirits," it is this, brother. What is in your heart? Do you want to glorify yourself, or do you want to glorify the Lord who is King over you? John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative." How different from all of us. We can do many things in our own initiatives. When we sit in a committee, the number of wonderful brain waves we can get is amazing. We can come with it as a drop of a hat. But the master of the universe, the one through whom the universe was created, says, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, for you and me to think like that, we have to receive the Spirit of Christ. It will not come to us in our natural selves. We don't have that kind of thing. It is not of our nature. It is not of our character. So the Spirit of Christ comes to us with the nature and character of Jesus Christ. You know, so often we tell people that you must have a good character for sound ministry. No human being has a good character. I don't have it, you don't have it. Good character is entirely in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ, in the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. Good character comes to you and me through the Spirit of Christ. Now you understand why Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Until Christ is formed in us, we can do nothing right. We may think we are doing something right. But to do something right, it has to be defined in the Spirit of Christ. That genetic blueprint of the Spirit of Christ has to be perfected and completed into us. I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does Christ strengthen you? With His Spirit. What can His Spirit do with you? All things. Do you see the immensity of it? All things. All things. All things. Even if you're the smartest man in the whole world, you can't do all things. But the Lord is saying, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things that God leads you into. All things are blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ. So there's nothing that is impossible with us. There's nothing that is impossible for us. So what is the prophetic picture of the Spirit of Christ? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. So we have the prophetic word. Everything in Scripture, when it can be expounded to you in the Spirit and life of Jesus, is prophetic in nature. The testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. What is the Spirit of prophecy? The Spirit of prophecy is the Spirit of Christ. And he says this, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. There are two realities that God is talking about here. One is a lamp. Have you seen a kerosene lamp? Have you seen a morning star? When you look up into the skies and you see the sun, that is a morning star. And God is telling you that that lamp, like a kerosene lamp, can become like the sun. Now we know that the energy in the sun is umpteen times more than the energy that is contained in the earth. All of the earth. And God is giving you a prophetic picture. That this lamp can become like the sun. What is he talking about? Where is this kind of power locked up in? It is locked up in the Spirit of Christ. He's trying to tell you that in the Spirit of Christ, that lamp can become like the morning star. This is the prophetic word. This is the power of God. This is not about your intellect and my intellect and how anointed I am versus you and all that kind of silly things that we sit down and compare about. And pat ourselves on the back and say how wonderful we are. This is what the prophet announced, that he will be wonderful. This is wonderful. Not the cheap stuff that we conjure up in our own minds and our own imaginations and our own cleverness. And then tell ourselves how smart we are. This is the spirit of excellence that Jesus Christ brings to our life. This is the spirit of excellence that Peter mentions a few verses earlier. Verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. How is that true knowledge communicated? Through his Spirit. Who called us by his own glory and excellence. That word excellence is in the New American Standard. So the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of glory, it is the Spirit of excellence, and it is designed for you and me. And when the glory manifests, when the light comes forth, The lamp will become like the sun. Obviously, it will take time. But you see the direction. You see what is contained in Christ for you. You see what is contained in Christ for you. Christ is God's gift to you. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. And to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gift that is of Christ. Obviously, the gift is defined in His Spirit. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is defined genetically in Christ. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discernment of spirits, the gifts of healing, the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues. Because Jesus communicated with God perfectly. Since we are unable to communicate or to understand, God gave us tongues so that we can speak beyond this silly box that we carry. So that this silly box does not become a constraint to us receiving from God. The gift of prophecy, the gift of the interpretation of tongues, which is actually revelation manifested. All that is part and parcel of Christ's gift. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the nature of Christ. The Holy Spirit will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. That's what the Lord said. So you have a measure of Christ's gift to reveal in your life. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, it is said, you are a letter of Christ, or you are an epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the finger, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. Powerful, isn't it? You are an epistle of Christ. Something of this awesome reality of Christ in His fullness is meant to be, has been bequeathed to you. And what has been bequeathed to you, God says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. But the key is Christ. When you pray in tongues, the key is to unveil Christ. Not to do your own thing. If you do your own thing, you will go into the occult realm. You will become practitioners of the occult. You will become purveyors of witchcraft. To do the right thing, you have to learn how to do all things through Christ. All things through Christ is how righteousness is defined. Righteousness can never come out of you and me. It can only come out of the Spirit of Christ applied in us and brought out of us by the Holy Spirit. So the law of life is this. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and death. That's the only thing that can manifest freedom from the law of sin and death. What is that? That you have to learn how to function by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. First thing is the genetic blueprint. The genetic blueprint will enable you to function in the name of Jesus. That genetic blueprint will enable your spirit to be joined with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. That one spirit is of the Spirit of Christ. That one spirit is the Spirit of Christ. That's what unites us with Him. That's what enables right function with the Holy Spirit. It is false to think that you can experientially function by the Holy Spirit. Your experience can be very, very faulty. I'm not saying there is no such thing as experience. There is experience that is blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ that you can develop and function in with confidence and know that this is God coming through me. But there is also a spirit of deception that the angel of light is able to bring to you. Within the Spirit of Christ, there is a power that works. You know, just as you, when you switch on a light bulb, there is power that manifests that light. The Spirit of Christ is manifested to you with the light of Christ. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. He who follows me will have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will possess the light of life. Where does this light of life come from? It comes out of Christ revealed. Jesus mentions two kinds of light. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus mentions two kinds of light. Verse 22 and verse 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. What is the eye? Your capacity to see. Your capacity to see. How do you see? You see with understanding. Where does that understanding come out? It comes out of the word that you have received. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye can see Jesus Christ, then your whole body will be full of light. Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. What is that rock? That rock is what Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That rock of revelation, the rock that is higher than I. Upon this rock I will build my church. In the rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ, thou art the Christ. He didn't say thou art Jesus. He said thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why did he mention Christ? Because it is in his spirit that the revelation is manifested. And it is in that revelation defined in the Spirit of Christ that the church of Jesus Christ can be built and will be built. There is no other spirit in which it's going to be built. The rock that is higher than I. Okay, so fix your eye on Jesus and his light will manifest in you and your whole body will be full of light. But there is another kind of light. But if your eye is bad, if you look at things with ulterior motives, if you look at things with carnal desires, if you study the scriptures with carnal agendas, hidden agendas, selfish agendas, with agendas to build your own empire and to build your own greatness and see your own greatness come forth, your eye is bad. And if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So there is something called the light of darkness. But there is something called the light of life as well. That light of life comes through Christ. In Christ is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 24. Let's read verse 23 for context. We preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. In Christ is the power of God. In Christ is the wisdom of God. So in his spirit there is locked this power. This power that has the ability to manifest from a lamp to a morning star. This power that is meant to work inside of you and me. It is called resurrection power. And as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in its wings within us. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the prophetic word. Right? What does that healing bring? It brings transformation and change. It brings deliverance. What is the Son of Righteousness? This light, this power that is in the Spirit of Christ. That is the Son of Righteousness. Because the word used in Malachi is S-U-N. And the sun is a morning star. And Jesus Christ is called the bright morning star, the root of David and the offspring of David. What do we want to become? The offspring of David, the offspring of the love of God. What do we want to have? We want to have the key of David, the ability to open that door. Jesus said, I am the door. What do you use a key for? You use a key to unlock the door. That key is called the key of David. That key is called the key of David. And it can unlock the I am of God. Because I am is the name of God manifested to us by the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. Isn't it powerful, guys? Are you not fearfully and wonderfully made? But you are only fearfully and wonderfully made in Christ Jesus. You are only fearfully and wonderfully made in His image and in His fullness. You are not fearfully and wonderfully made in this carnal, fallen man. So that power is locked. How great is this power? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It's talking about Jesus, and he says that he is the radiance of the Father's glory. But in the middle there, it says that he upholds all things by the rhema of his power. All things in eternity is tied to Jesus Christ. It is tied to his lordship. It is expressed in his rhema. What is his rhema? John 6:63 says, my spirit and my life. Huh? His spirit and his life. Since it is his word, it has to describe his spirit and his life. And Jesus upholds all things in prophetic terms. You know how long the prophetic word is? The prophetic word stretches into eternity. The prophetic word starts from the foundations of the earth. Revelation 13:8 says that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. So in Christ Jesus, God ordains something in prophetic terms. The prophetic word stands in the name of Jesus. Huh? And the ministry of the prophet is meant to bring that forth, not what we want to do. And when we manifest the prophetic word on our own agendas, what an evil it is. And there's no other word to describe it. It is evil. Because it takes the destiny that the sons of God have and replaces it with junk. Prophetic junk. That is evil. But what God has given us in the rhema of Jesus Christ is all things that will be manifested in eternity. So can you imagine the power that is inside the rhema word? See, God is describing this in pictures. When God took Father Abraham out, he took him out and he said, look at the galaxy, look at the stars. He probably gave him a look at the galaxies as how we see it in photographs these days, and it's magnificent. If you take out the individual star out of that magnificence of the galaxy, you find that the individual star is nothing. But put it together. What a wonderful picture it is. You can sit down and gaze at it for hours on end. What is God describing? The body of Christ. What are we interested in? Manifesting our glory. See, something is wrong upstairs. We are called to build the body of Christ. We want to build ourselves. There is a place for building yourself, but you build yourself so that you will be able to supply what you are designed to supply to the body of Christ. For the body is meant to grow in love. We are members of each other. Your success is my success. My success is your success. We are supposed to contribute to each other's success. That success is entirely blueprinted in Christ so that we will not boast. But so often we boast of ourselves. Come to my ministry. Let me lay hands on you. How wrong it is. How wrong it is. How pathetic it is. How many people are misled, running from one man of God to the next man of God. Don't get me wrong, there is a place for the man of God. But everything has to be manifested in the name of Jesus. We talk about dying to self. That's where we die to self. All right. So, he upholds all things by the rhema of his power. Amen. All things, that is power. Where is this power supposed to be manifested? Within you and me. Isn't that awesome? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That power is inscribed in the Spirit of Christ. That power that is locked into the Spirit of Christ is meant to be put to work within you. The Greek word for works there is the Greek word energio, from which our modern word energy comes from. So the power has to be energized. The person who energizes that power is called the Holy Spirit. So this power that is locked in the Spirit of Christ can only be manifested through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. What is contained in this power? In this power, there are realities that you can ask and think about. And the earlier part of this verse says that you can receive exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think, according to the power that works within you, according to the Spirit of Christ that is defined in you. So when you pray in a tongue, what are you praying for? You are praying for the Spirit of Christ to be released to you, to be perfected inside of you, to be made alive inside of you. Remember, you pray in a tongue to unveil the mystery of Christ. It's a mystery because the mystery requires revelation knowledge to manifest it. When revelation knowledge manifests inside of you, the word becomes light inside of you. As more and more of the word is manifested inside of you, that light increases. God is saying that light can become from a lamp into a morning star. So take individual words like faith, like wisdom, like knowledge, like understanding, righteousness, holiness. These are all individual words of infinite potential because they're all defined in the nature and character of God. Psalm 138 verse 2 says that God has glorified his word according to all of his name. New American Standard. Where did he glorify his word according to all of his name? Through the cross. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says that the word of the cross is the power of God. The word of the cross is the power of God. That is the fundamental reality of power. That is the fundamental reality of power. That power is meant to work within you. Work within you to bring forth beyond all that you ask or even think. So when you have the word of God revealed to you, it is meant to bring out two things within you. It is meant for you to ask how that word is meant to be applied to your life and your ministry. How it is meant to be applied to those who are around you, those who are in your spheres of influence. It is also meant to generate thought. Because God will do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think. That's the key. That is why God deals with us through grace. Because that is grace in practice. So when you confess the word, you don't just simply confess the word like a parrot. You're supposed to think about it. You're supposed to understand it. You're supposed to see what is the purpose of that word in your life. You are sons of God. Think like sons. Think like a royal priesthood. Now the Greek word works, energio, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. I'm reading from the New American Standard, and it says, and there are varieties of effects. If you have an old King James Bible, it says, and there are varieties of operations. All right? There are varieties of operations, but the same God who works all things in all people, that word works is the Greek word energio. If you go to the Amplified Bible, this is what it translates it as. Inspire and energize. So how is power released inside of us? It is released inside of us through inspiration. Who brings inspiration? The Holy Spirit brings inspiration. What is inspiration? The revelation of God's word. When you pray in a tongue, what are you doing? You're energizing that inspiration. Can you catch it? What are you manifesting in the Spirit of God? You're manifesting channels for God's power to be manifested in you and through you. It takes time. The trouble with us is we want everything instantly. See, God cannot give you power if you have the nature of a skunk. Otherwise, you will become what is called a powerful skunk. So when God releases power, he's also making changes in your character and your nature. He has to do it with you. He has to do it with me. Because we all know what we are like. Let's not pretend about that. That's why when Jesus talked about us, he said, you're all evil. He actually used the word evil. So only God is good. He said that too. That which is of God is good. That which is not of God is evil. The absence of God is the manifestation of evil. In Jesus Christ, God has given us access to God, to himself, by the Holy Spirit. But the blueprint for that access is the Spirit of Christ. You are joined with the Lord in his Spirit. Amen. And it makes you sons of God, and it's powerful. Okay? We're talking about light, and I want to show you a verse in Ephesians chapter 4, rather Ephesians chapter 5. Talking about light, huh? Inspiration, energization. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. But all things become visible. All things, whether good or evil, can become visible when they are exposed by the light. Now, in this case, he is talking about the light. God is light, and the light that comes from God through Jesus Christ is the light. And he's saying, when something is exposed by the light, then you will know the difference between good and evil. For everything that becomes visible is light. So there are things that belong to the light of darkness, and there are things that belong to the light of life. The light of life is what flows from God. The light of darkness is what comes from the evil one. That is what is called deception. That is what is called the occult world. But God is telling, for you to be able to discern it, then your light must be the light. You remember we just read earlier Isaiah chapter 60? And God says in Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 to 3 that his light is shining over us. But the nations will come to the light of our rising. Hello? The nations will come to the light of our rising, to this light. Because if the light shines out of us, the nations also will be able to see the difference between light and darkness. See, God's plan of salvation is tied to the church. God's plan of salvation is more than mere evangelism, guys. The reason why our evangelism is so mediocre is because the light that shines out of us is not the light of God. We bring people into the church, and so many of those people, after 5 years, they are dead, spiritually dead. Why? Because we simply think that, you know, just giving the basic message and making the sinner's confession makes Christians. Is it so? Verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen? That light of Christ is defined in his spirit. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is tied to the Spirit of Christ. That is God's will. That is God's perfect will, that everything be defined in His Son. It is not defined in the church. It is defined in the Son. What is the church? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he, the Father, put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church. Provided Jesus is the head, the church has a position. If Jesus is not the head in your heart, you have no position. You're not even the church. Because verse 23 says, the church is his body. How is it his body? It contains the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is the church. So he fills all in all. That is our duty, to make sure his fullness will fill all in all. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill how many things? All things. Is he filling all things in the Christian church? If he doesn't fill his own body, where else is he going to be welcome? And it starts with the frontline leadership. Who do we want to see reigning in our churches? Jesus Christ or ourselves? Fundamental question we need to address. In the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What is God's perfect will? Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19, verse 17 to 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And he, Jesus Christ, is before all things. Is he before all things in the church? And in him all things hold together. That's why we are a walking disaster. Because nothing is being held in his name. It is being held in our names. It is being held in the names of our denominations. It is being held with little rule books that we have written out of our smart and brilliant minds. The tragedy of the church is that it's a gigantic organization. It's a gigantic corporation. And it's a disgrace. Because we have discarded the word of God. And in him, all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Other translations say that he should be preeminent. He is supposed to have first place in everything. Starts with you. But for him to have first place in everything, you must allow the Holy Spirit to energize that Spirit of Christ within you. When you taste the Lord, then you will understand that he can be and he should be and he must be preeminent in your heart. It will not come out of your own nature and character. We are not like that. We want to see ourselves up there, brother. All of us have got our own visions of our own glory. Let's not lie about it. So awake, sleeper, arise from the dead and let Christ shine. That's what the prophet tells us. That's what the apostle tells us. Verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Christ crucified the power of God. And one of the realities of that power is to reconcile all things in heaven and on earth. Isn't that powerful? In a universe, in a world where we live in, where everything is in discord, for God to say that there is a power that the church is required to discover and release that is able to unite all things in heaven and on earth, that is something else. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in the heavens. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 26. That is the mystery, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. So God is asking us the question, so you are my saints. Are you interested? Verse 27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. How is Christ in you? Through his Spirit. How does that hope of glory come forth? In your thoughts and in what you ask God to be manifested in Christ, isn't it? You have to exercise your citizenship. Verse 28, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Are you understanding the word of God? Now, the first place where we apply that understanding is in prayer. How do you pray for yourself? Do you have hamburger Christianity or kingdom Christianity? You know what is hamburger Christianity? Something that will please your tummy for the moment. Santa Claus Christianity. Or is it kingdom Christianity? To see the kingdom come. Through the Spirit of Christ, the will of God will become natural to us. Because one of the fundamental testimonies of the Spirit of Christ is this: to please the Father, to do his will. Jesus defined it through the cross. Jesus defined it through the cross. If you go back to the communion passage, this is what Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 22, verse 15. I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Listen to his words, guys. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, it will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. We have made it a sacrament. And we go through the motions of it all without understanding that he's talking about fulfillment. Amen. Is fulfillment available to us? Yes, brother, because the blueprint that is the Spirit of Christ is designed for fulfillment in all eternity. All you have to do is receive, realize, and walk in it. The rest of it, God will do. What's in it, he will bring it forth. Just be patient. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that we have an astonishing inheritance and possession, blueprinted in the Spirit of Christ, meant to expound and explain the entire Word of God to us in fulfilled terms, so that we can become morning stars in the image and fullness of the bright morning stars, bright morning star, that we can become sons of God, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, blessed through Christ who strengthens us, realizing the blessing by simply having Christ in us as the hope of glory. That glory that will unveil us as morning stars. That glory of the light of life that you have given us in Jesus Christ. That light that will enable us to see all things clearly. Understanding, O God, all things in the perspectives that you have bequeathed to us by the Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver us, O God, from the fleshly ways that we have, the carnal ways of the world that we have acquired. Release us, O God, by manifesting, perfecting, and completing into us the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. We pray that your salvation be worked in us so that we will know the freedom and liberty that comes by the Spirit in Jesus Christ. We ask this, we pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen.